Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayer. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. This is Weekly Comics Spotlight number 606 for comics originally released on March 20th, 2019. Now, starting us off in DC is Teen Titans number 28. This is part one of the Terminus agenda. It's also billed as the final showdown with Deathstroke, and it's crossing over with Deathstroke.
Yep.
Now, the previous issue of Deathstroke, number 41, was like the prologue to this. I did not pre-order that, so I have not read that yet.
We are in the same boat because I didn't pre-order it and I didn't read it. I just ordered the Terminus event itself.
I will say that it's going to be coming in my next shipment.
Oh, okay, so you'll know what the heck's going on then.
Yeah, but I intentionally didn't read it before this because it's like, well, let's see how important the prologue is.
Okay.
And as near as I can tell, it doesn't matter at all because I could figure out what was going on.
Yeah, me too. I'm not going to go back and get it because, honestly, I thought this being part one of the story, we didn't need to know that, and I didn't even see it solicited as part of it. So I'm cool with it, and like you said, this read very well, and I enjoyed it for what it was.
Yeah, it was what it was. There are a couple of things about this that got me.
A few things for me, too, so I'm curious what your things are.
The whole scene in the barbershop just went on too long.
Oh, okay.
The setup was too slow. There's the whole Marv George as he's going into the place and stuff, and I'm like, okay, Deathstroke was created by Marv Wolfman and George Perez, hence the Marv and George. Okay, I get it, you know. But it felt needlessly decompressed.
Yeah.
This is not the first time we've seen Damian Wayne going up against Deathstroke.
Correct.
Don't know if it'll be the last one or not. This does promise a final showdown.
Yeah, and there are six issues in this story, and we're on the first one, so...
Yeah. Having just today read a solicit for what takes place after this, this could be a final showdown.
Oh, okay.
So, don't know. But, I mean, I've seen these two go at it again, and, I mean, come on. He's what, how old is Damian? 12 or something?
Yeah, 12-year-old versus a grown man who's the best assassin in the world.
Yeah, seems a little like bullying to me. But...
Yeah, so true.
And this isn't even the first time that the Titans of one form or another have gotten kind of into the mix when Damian's going up against Deathstroke.
Yeah.
Not even the first time, I think, in this run of Teen Titans.
Yeah, it's a recurring theme.
So, I mean, it was an okay story. Some stuff they've been setting up since... This arc of Titans and stuff with Damian and his secret prison and stuff, you know, they're moving that story further forward and stuff here.
Yes, correct.
From my mind, it is not a bad story, but it is far from the best version of Titans versus Deathstroke.
Yeah, this isn't, I wouldn't say this is a great literary piece. It was entertaining. The buildup was a little bit slow, although I would say I didn't mind it. It didn't bother me at all. I was surprised. Now, issue 23, when they came out with a new cast of Teen Titans, is that the first time we saw the, I'm trying to think of the blue shape-shifting kid?
Roundhouse.
Roundhouse. Is that the first time that you've seen him, or has he been in the DCU before this?
I think it was his first appearance.
Me too. So this is like a new thing. His power in here, I guess, to turn to a pool of jello?
I guess. When they were referring to him as a shapeshifter in here, I never really thought of him as such.
Me neither. That was never referenced before. So that was the thing that kind of irked me. I was just like, he's never been portrayed as a shapeshifter. He's never shifted his shape. And now magically that's his thing. And he turns into goo. I was like, well, that's just something I have not seen and was never discussed before.
I mean, I guess technically he's kind of sort of a shapeshifter. But to me, he was like a modern day bouncing boy.
That's how I saw him. Yeah, just kind of like the human wrecking ball that kind of bounced around. Not that he was like a Skrull or could, you know, change who he was. So that just kind of irked me a little bit with that character because I figured he's a new character. I'm like, they should have said, hey, this is the shapeshifter from the jump if that's what he was.
Yeah, I felt that was a new thing here and it felt a little out of place. So
yeah. And then the other thing that made me laugh in here was when they introduced Jin, they're like the 4,000-year-old teenager. I'm like, that's kind of contradictory a little bit.
Yeah. The previous issue gave some good backstory for her.
Yeah, it's true. I always laugh when I see that, though. 4,000-year-old teenager. I'm like, she's not a teenager then.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Very immature.
Maybe young for her kind, but, you know, you should mature a little over that kind of lifespan.
Exactly. Those are just my little nitpicks when I was looking at it. I did like the art in here. I liked the fight in here. I thought the build-up to the fight that happened was a little anticlimactic because it seemed kind of wrapped up.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's got to be another play on this.
The pacing on this felt a little off, but I think it was very much a matter of presumably Deathstroke having a plan to get where he got by the end of this issue.
Okay. And one last thing I was going to ask you, did that last page, I don't know where they're going with this. That didn't mean anything to me.
Have you been reading Teen Titans the whole time?
Okay. Well, not the whole time, since issue 23.
Since 23, okay. They've established that Damian is not playing judge, jury, and executioner, but certainly playing warden and has his own, you know, prison he's got.
Okay.
And that's where they're at there at the end.
So that's just like a surprise type thing. I thought there was something physically wrong with the character. The way it looked.
I think that was particularly not well drawn.
Yeah, I looked at that and I was like, why? Well, what happened to him? Well, I just looked at that and I was like, what's happening? I don't know.
Yeah, it looked physically painful to be in that position, and the costume just looked a little weird.
Yeah, because when I got to the end, I'm like, is there something wrong with him, or is it literally what the character is saying? And I guess it's more the character saying something, and it's just drawn very poorly.
Yeah, I felt it was drawn not so well, and the costume design looked a little different than we'd seen. But now that I'm kind of flipping through it, there's not really a good establishing shot of the costume for that character.
Yeah, true. Yeah, there isn't really. He's always covered up.
Yeah.
So just some weird nitpicks I had in there. But overall, it was entertaining. It wasn't, like something that's like, wow, this is an amazing story. But it was good.
It certainly had some plot progression and moved stuff forward. And we had some character moments and whatnot. So it was not a horrible issue.
Oh, no, definitely not.
But I couldn't tell quite where they were going with this. And this whole Damian going up against Deathstroke, or the Titans going up against Deathstroke, has been done a lot before, and this was okay, but it wasn't great, and it's, again, so far from the best Titans versus Deathstroke story to not even be funny.
Yeah, and I haven't read a lot of them, so I imagine it wears more on you than it does me, you know, being a newer DC reader.
Yeah, it just felt like they've played this these notes before and better. And again, it's not bad, and I'm sure it'll be a decent story once we get a little further into it, but I just, you know, it's hard for me not to compare it against something like the Judas Contract, or even the, what was it, the Lazarus Contract, or whatever the last one or two of the go-rounds of this was.
I want to read both of those, because I've heard they're good.
Highly recommend the Judas Contract.
Yeah, so I definitely have to read that. Now, I am interested to see when this book crosses over, because I did pre-order the event with Deathstroke, because I really was not enjoying Christopher Priest's Deathstroke, so I kind of dropped it after about 15 issues.
Yeah, that's... I had gotten the issues that something crossed like over that with this and had dropped it too, and now that I've also had Eric add 41 to my order and stuff, I'm probably now just missing like one or two in between, and that completist mentality may force me to fill those at some point. But I've not been overwhelmed favorably by Priest's writing. And part of it is he's just got some writing tics that just don't sit well with me.
Yeah, I haven't read a lot of Priest, but I've heard good things, especially with Black Panther, you know, and I never read the Black Panther mm-hmm. run. There's just a lot of things that I need to read. And so not hearing that he had written something really great with Black Panther, I'm like, man, I got to get on this. This is going to be good. And I was like, this is just kind of underwhelming.
He did good on Black Panther, Quantum and Woody, and some other stuff. So he's a talented writer.
It's just now it's kind of not hitting, or...
It's feeling a little more formulaic, and I really dislike the way that Jericho in particular is being treated and depicted over in Deathstroke.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. One thing that I am finding now, though, now is you probably are enjoying this a little bit when you get behind. When you read chunks of issues, it comes together, the story, much easier and much better.
Certainly there's more story momentum, but sometimes that works against the story when I feel like they've just kind of jumped a little between issues.
Ah, okay.
It definitely changes the experience. Sometimes it makes it better because it's easy to go from one issue into the next. Other times, not so much.
Okay, okay, cool. So, overall, what did you think of this book?
Like I said, it was okay, but not great. I was kind of hovering between that C+ and B-, so I'm probably going to go with the C+.
Okay. Well, I enjoyed it, actually, believe it or not, a little bit more than you, because I have not seen the multiple fights with Deathstroke, and I went with a B on it because I love the Teen Titans, because I love Damian. Even though this was not the best portrayal of the character, went with a solid B.
I can see that. I can see that. And I was not that far from a B- and stuff, and I think part of it is when I think Teen Titans, these are not the characters I think of.
Yeah, and when I think of Teen Titans, this is the only ones I know. So, I do want to pick up the Wolfman and Perez, though. I want to go back and read the original stuff. And I think the fourth omnibus just came out, and I'm going to ask Eric if they have maybe the first four still available. If not, that's something they should definitely reprint, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Again, the Wolfman and Perez era of Teen Titans was just outstanding.
Yeah.
Highly recommend that.
Cool.
Shall we move on to our Marvel book?
Sounds good.
It is Avengers number 17, or Legacy number 707, I guess.
Yes.
And this is the end of the vampire storyline they've been telling.
Yeah.
I think when we picked this, I might have been thinking it was going to be the start of the War of the Realms stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think this is the absolute last one before War of the Realms kicks off.
I believe it is.
Yep.
I'll admit, I haven't been a huge fan of this whole vampire war storyline.
Really? It is kind of bloody a little bit, but...
Well, I'm just not that big of a fan of vampires in general, and the Marvel depiction in particular isn't much of an improvement.
Okay, all right, gotcha.
It almost always seems to be some variant of... And I'm grossly oversimplifying because I haven't read a lot of it. I mean, there's Tomb of Dracula and some other stuff that's actually very brilliant that Marvel's done over the years. But of late, it's a let's turn either one of the X-Men, be it Jubilee or Storm, into a vampire. Or here we've got Blade, who's now an Avenger, being a vampire. Actually, I think they even did, was it Spitfire or Union Jack at one point as a vampire? And it's like yeah. There's kind of that go-to angle. It's, whatever.
Yeah, I like the vampires just having, like, we see Dracula in here and other vampires. And I'm trying to think of the one guy's name, the Colonel. Whatever his name is. But we see all those characters. I would like to see them fleshed out in their own little vampire book because I like vampires.
Cool.
But, I mean, you know, like Marvel vampires, it's just something I could do without. You know, I don't like Jubilee as a vampire. Or, like you said, Storm as a vampire.
Yeah. Well, and the solicit for this was saying that the world of the Marvel U vampires will be changed forever. And maybe it was here, but man, the note it ended on, I'm like, so?
Did it seem like it came full, you know, circle around? I'm like, it seems like it ended up right where it was.
I guess. It's been long enough since I've read the start of this arc. I don't remember exactly where it started. And the whole bit there at the end, just it was like this big reveal that really had zero resonance for me.
Yeah, for me, I really kind of enjoyed this. I thought it was fun. It was like a fun story building up to, you know, War of the Realms. And I kind of enjoyed it. The Shadow Colonel, that's his name, Shadow yeah. Colonel. I couldn't remember the guy's name. Okay, there is a reveal there about who the Shadow Colonel really is. And what happened to him, I was like, well, you built up this new character and then ta-da, there it is. But I was just like, okay, it starts with Dracula's running, you know, vampires being slaughtered by this Shadow Colonel, and Dracula basically is throwing himself at the mercy of the Russians and the looking for, you know, for protection from the Shadow Colonel.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way this ends, I'm like, that just, what the heck happened? It seems like it just came full circle around.
Yeah, yeah. It was not a satisfying ending for me.
That was the worst part of it, because I actually had been, I really enjoyed the story, but I was just like, okay, I think they're going to go somewhere with this, but it just seems like nothing changed, status quo.
Yeah. It's one of those that, while I didn't really like the way the story ended, there were some decent moments in it. One or two puzzling moments, like how long has Captain Marvel been speaking Russian and stuff? That was a little weird.
Yeah.
And, you know, I generally like the Avengers. I'm not going to say I love this era of the Avengers. I think there's others that I love a lot more. But it was a surprisingly good read, given how much I didn't kind of care for, again, what I felt was a lackluster ending to the story.
Which makes sense, because I would say that was the weakest part, is because when I got to the end, I was like, I was a little bit disappointed with what happens to the Shadow Colonel in the issue. Mm-hmm. And then I got to the end, I was like, okay, nothing changed. And like you said, they said this was a big status quo change. I'm like, no, it really wasn't. But the read was so entertaining. I mean, we got to see over this arc, basically there was a Marvel character. It was the Ghost Rider. He became basically a vampire for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see all kinds of bombastic, crazy fights throughout this whole thing. Vampires being wiped out left and right. The rise of a new vampire nation. So I thought it was really kind of fun, but you got to be into the vampire thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, well, I don't care for Blade being an Avenger. He was well used, and it made sense to bring him in for this.
Yeah. Now, I did notice one thing that was kind of interesting in here. We have a She-Hulk portion of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I never read New 52 Superman, but she has basically New 52 Superman powers, if I'm not mistaken, in this book.
You are correct.
I was just like, when did she become like that? I have no idea.
I was kind of puzzled by that, too, and I think I've read pretty much all of her appearances of late, like, i.e. the last few decades.
Yeah, and I was just like, this is not She-Hulk. What the heck is going on? I mean, okay, we can do that, but like I said, this is the second book in a row that we read where the powers just seem to change based on what the writer wanted to do. It's not been established.
Well, you know? And there was that one panel where the stuff's happening, and then it seemed like, okay, that caught people's attention, but didn't really otherwise seem to phase them much.
Yeah, nothing happened. I was like, that was one thing I was just looking at. I was like, that was so weird. It's so cool because they can use it in ways, but that has never been a thing, and why the heck is it here? Who knows? And it wasn't expounded upon, so
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Just another weird thing that happened in this week's reading.
For me, it was a surprisingly good read given, you know, how I didn't care for some of what they were doing, like the basic premise of the story, but it was well told. Art was fine. I still wouldn't put this, like I said, anywhere near my favorite run of the Avengers, but they're doing stuff. And you know how we've talked about how some books are very much trying to do world building, but they're either overplaying it or not doing it well.
Yeah.
This is walking the line, I think, right.
Yes, I would agree with you on that.
They're doing stuff, they're changing things, they're expounding on things, you know, whatnot. So it's clear that the status quo is changing, but it's not like boom all at once, or just, hey, we're going to drop some crazy idea at you and just wow you with that. It's a good story. It's just, I don't care much for vampires, I guess.
Oh, I understand. And this will be the end of this. So the next thing up, Jason Aaron will take it in a different direction, and then it'll pick up after War of the Realms with probably a status quo change. But Jason has been doing – he's a really good writer, and you can see it. Even though this is something you don't like, you've been enjoying it. It's entertaining. Yeah. And another thing that I thought is so weird, I never remember seeing it before, is the whole boy thing, like the man thing that's like a little boy that rides your back.
I think it was new with this issue.
Yeah, I was like – where did this come from? That was like boy thing. Okay, all right. We're going to roll with that. I mean, it was kind of entertaining. We will wait to see if he comes back.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
Yeah. So there's weird stuff that's happening here, but weird, and I enjoy it. I'm laughing. It's not that I'm hating it.
Exactly. I will say that the teaser for the next one with the all-new Squadron Supreme of America, that one looks kind of fun.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly, so I'm ready for that.
So that should be good.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with a B- on this. I think Jason Aaron's a talented writer. David Marquez on the art's doing fine job and stuff. I'm just, like I said, not crazy about the story they've been telling. I'll be honest, I'm not really looking forward to War of the Realms. I really don't care that much about the Asgard stuff. But I'm looking forward to where the Avengers get kind of after that.
Well, I must be in a good mood tonight. I'm not taking any medications or anything. But once again, I went above you. I gave it an A-. I love Jason Aaron. I've been enjoying this vampire story, so it works for me.
You sure you're not taking medication? Just
I'm pretty sure.
Just saying.
Sure.
All right. Shall we move on to our other book?
Sounds good.
This is Lazarus Risen number 1 by Rucka and Lark. And this is the first of the new longer format issues for Lazarus. This is 64 pages or thereabouts? Yeah.
Yeah, roughly, with a big like prose piece in there.
Well, not only a prose piece in there, but man, this started off with a fairly significant kind of info dump of here's who all the characters are, what's happened previously, and that went for a couple of pages before they start the story.
Yeah, a lot of information to really get you caught up, which with the long break is much needed.
Well, the long break and just how much Lazarus there had been prior to this.
Yeah, it's a very deep, deep book that I am in love with.
You know, it realized it was a number one issue and it should be accessible as a number one issue, and I respect that.
I do too, because so many times, even with not the number one, but writers go away and they take a hiatus for an extended period of time. And if they don't take the time to bring the reader up to speed, I'm not going to remember what happened 6 months, 8 months ago. And so he took, let's say, 5 or 6 months off, and he brought me up to speed. And I felt like if I was a new reader, I would have a pretty good idea what's going on when I jumped in.
Yeah. Well, and this is one of those cases where the creative team has worked together long enough that they jive really well. There's a couple of pages here that are told entirely through the art.
Yeah, right at the beginning, too. I like that.
And it was well done. You could tell what was going on. One or two parts were a little gross, but, you know, the writer, Rucka, knows when to lean on the artist and, you know, when not to, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, frenetic action that keeps you engaged. It's not boring art. It's very engaging art. I like that.
Yeah. The longer page count, I think, gives the creative team a little more room to work with, and I thought they used it well. There was mention in the back matter that there were a few scenes that if they'd been in the regular format, they probably would have had to cut.
Yeah, I did read that, and I noticed that. Yeah, so which I'm glad they didn't cut it out, because there was so much information in here, and I loved so many things in here. I love the world that he's built. He's even built a role-playing game around this book.
Yeah.
Which is just insane, because you have the little character sheets at the end with their strengths and dexterity and everything at the, you know, and with their strengths and let's see, threat level moderate, you know, for certain characters, which is just kind of awesome.
Well, and it was a good kind of both ad for the game. If you really like the world, check this out. But also, again, it's just showing how fleshed out this world is.
Yeah, I can literally see Greg Rucka thought about this world and what he was going to write. And he created a game, he created a book, and the whole thing is built in his head. And it centers around Forever Carlyle, the Lazarus, thus the title of the book. But it could be expounded so much more. You know, you could have a book on a different family. And I think you could flesh that character out and make us care for that character just as much as we do for her.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This guy is an amazing writer. I love Greg Rucka.
Well, and this is, I think, after a 2-year gap, and we get a tease of how Forever the Lazarus is. I mean, she's what, the seventh one, and there's an eighth one in training.
Yeah.
And it's, well, when am I going to meet the eighth one? It's, well, you know, there's this, there's that. You know, we can't rush into it. You know, if she let the word out that she'd met you, that could be bad, you know, and just. We get a sense of what the repercussions could be and stuff, but it's something that, again, is kind of foreshadowing the eventual hopeful meeting of those two.
Definitely, yeah. And I have a feeling they will meet.
I hope so.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. The one thing I didn't like that they did with Forever, I didn't like that they shaved off all her hair in this.
Yeah, I didn't think she looked as good with that. But,
yeah, it just kind of like the buzzed off military haircut. So, but I love the character. I like the new Forever that they have in here, seeing how she's growing up. And he does such a good job of fleshing out the characters. I love the scene at the very beginning when you're looking at the conflict between Vasilovka, I think it is, the Russian family and the Carlyle family, and how that all plays out in the North. That was just amazing.
Yeah.
Brilliantly done.
There was a lot of really good stuff here. And again, like I said, the additional page count, I think, helped them quite a bit.
Yeah. My only gripe with the book was it ended on such a cliffhanger. I'm like, man, I don't want to wait until July.
Yeah, that whole quarterly aspect is going to kind of suck in that regards.
Because it ended, and I know you feel like me. I want to know what the heck's going to happen.
Yeah, but the nice thing is, since they've got the longer page count, when we get back to this, that entire, you know, where does it pick up kind of a thing, obviously it'll pick up right, hopefully, on the heels of this, but they can spend a bit more time on that than they would have if they just had a 20-page issue or something.
Correct, yeah. They could do another silent, frenetic piece that is involved with the cliffhanger there, and then he could go into fleshing out and building towards the next thing that's going to happen, the big thing that's going on.
Yeah.
But one thing I do love about this world, for people who haven't read Lazarus, I can't recommend enough going back and reading the trades or the hardcovers they have now. I always say Why the Last Man is my favorite comic, you know, for people who are new readers, you know, if they don't know anything. Outside of like Conan, which is just something I love, it's a licensed work. This is my favorite ongoing comic. This is my favorite thing. And the world that he's built, I don't know what it is. It talks to me, you know, about the rich and the companies that have taken over the world because they have more money than the governments, and governments collapse. And now there's people that are waste and people that are serfs. And these people are basically like kings back in the Middle Ages. I love it.
There's a certain almost plausibility to it that's in and of itself a little scary.
Exactly. Did you read the back matter when it was in the single issues a long time ago when the singles were coming out?
Sometimes, but not always, because there's a lot of back matter in these books.
It's crazy back matter, but he's just gone into a lot of it, and plausible, especially at the beginning, talking about how this could really happen,
mm-hmm.
how companies get so big. And, you know, with lobbying and stuff, they pretty much control the government, and it's just the next logical step that they basically become the rulers. and you know, consolidation and mega mergers until they are the powers, which is something you could see happen.
Yeah. Well, part of what I love about this is because Rucka's done his homework and really fleshed out and thought out the world, it's a deeper world with more nuances and stuff than the typical comic story.
Yes, yes. I would agree with that wholeheartedly. So I can't speak enough to this because I think it's something that everyone would enjoy. I guess there's some people who may not enjoy this stuff, but I can't imagine who it would be.
Yeah, I think if, you know, it's a bit more science fiction and future fiction type stuff than some people may care for, which is fine. But in terms of, again, quality, it's delivered every outing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, and I would say Greg Rucka, he seems like he devotes more of his time to this property than even some of his other books, which are very good. Like, he had Black Magic, which is very good.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, you can tell he's the most passionate about because he seems to put most of his focus, and he keeps this one going. Even when he pulled back and he was doing Wonder Woman, he was wanting to get back to this. You can just tell.
Well, the challenge with keeping Black Magic going was Nicola Scott, his collaborator on Wonder Woman, was the artist on that.
That's true. Yeah. Yep.
So, little tough.
That's true. Yeah. I don't know if he'll ever come back out with Black Magic again.
I thought they were planning to. I think it just comes down to when they can get the schedules to coordinate again, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, this is my favorite property by him though right now. I really like this book. So by the way, it's $7.99, but it's a big chunk. It's like a small trade, 60 some odd pages.
Yeah, and even once you take out the back matter and the text pieces, you still have at least twice the page count, if not more so, than the average comic.
Yeah, and it felt very satisfying because this is the price basically of two comics. But just in the comic portion, you're reading way more than two comics.
Yeah. And then again, you get the prose story, you get the game stuff, you get some other aspects. So certainly they're not skimping, and I think it's a fair price.
Yeah. This is a book that I like enough I will double dip on this one day. I know he's come out with hardcovers. When all the hardcovers are available, I'll probably buy them. But I'm waiting to see if he has like one big, you know, mega hardcover, you know, like an omnibus type thing. I'll buy that if he comes out with it.
I can see that. I'm not likely to double dip, but I could see where this is one that you would definitely and other people would do that on.
Yeah, it's because I enjoy it so much. I wouldn't mind reading it again, back to back to back, you know, the issues.
For me, I'm going to go with an A- on this. I was happy to see it come back. It delivered as I expected it to. Rucka, again, continues to tell, I think, a detailed story in an incredibly well fleshed out world that's just entertaining. And Lark just continues to do an amazing job on the art.
Yes.
The number of pages that we're able to really move the story forward without any dialogue and stuff is a credit to both of the collaborators.
Definitely. And for me, I guess I was taking something that made me super happy tonight because I'm giving everything good grades. I went with an A+. I loved it. I'm so happy to have Lazarus back in my reading life. And it's going to be a long, painful wait for July for the next issue to come out.
Well, and really, I think that's going to be telling on this title is when that next one comes out, how easy is it for us to get back into the story and move forward through that issue?
Yeah. I wonder if the next recap page at the beginning will more sort of recap this issue instead of the whole thing of Lazarus that's happened. Because it almost like this one he set up to be the, okay, this is a jumping on point. Mm-hmm. And I would say this is a good jumping on point. And the next one, maybe he should just recap, hey, back on issue one, here's what happened.
Yeah, I think what I would consider doing in his position is have the recap page that's kind of a, you know, brief overview of the series to get into the world, focus a little bit more on what happened in this issue, and then maybe take the last four pages, that last scene.
Yeah.
And do those on a single page, just a boom, here's what happened last.
That would be cool too. That's a really good idea. All right, you need to call Greg Rucker or send him an email.
Yeah, he always answers when I do.
You guys are best buddies.
He's probably already done the next issue by now. What are we saying? I mean, come on.
I know.
I'm sure he's got a game plan, and I'm sure hopefully we'll be satisfied with it.
Yeah, I'm just so happy. I was when this came out, I was like, oh, we can review this. I was like, it's going to be a long read. But it was worth it.
Well, it's funny because it was a large page count, but it didn't feel like a slog or a painful long read in any way, shape, or form.
No, and some comics are because like this one, I read it twice like I do when I'm reviewing a comic. But I enjoyed it as much the second time as I did the first time.
Well, I've had some regular sized issues that were longer to go through than this was.
Yes, where you feel like it's a chore reading the material. You're like, okay, I got to give it a fair shake because maybe it's just not up my alley, not something I like. But it's like, I'm really not enjoying this.
Yeah, this sucked me in and kept me going throughout. And it's been a while since we had the previous issue. So the fact we were able to get back into the story here, really good sign.
Yeah. So sorry, Jason Aaron and the Draculas. You went up against Greg Rucka. You lose.
Not bad, you know, to lose against, though. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Hey, it's tough to beat Greg Rucka when he's on.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I wanted to ask you about your trip. But one thing, the news came out. I know you probably were paying attention, but I know you're going. Hickman's back at Marvel, and he's taken over the X-Men. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think I did hear that. That was not the news that had gotten my attention over the weekend.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, maybe you could tell us the news that you were paying attention to, and then let us know how your trip went. Tell us what was going on.
Well, the news that caught my sister's attention and then caught mine, and I don't know if you – and this was actual news, not comic book news. Okay. I don't know if you or any of the listeners heard about the stuff that happened with that cruise ship over in Norway.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Caught in a storm. They had to helicopter off like hundreds of people. People were hurt. I mean, the footage I saw somebody taking on their cell phone or whatever, I mean, there's stuff sliding around all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
The reason that caught my attention and my sister's attention, that was the Viking Sky, which is the exact cruise ship we were on 2 months ago.
Oh.
On the exact itinerary we were on 2 months ago.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So it does just show things could always have been worse than they turned out to have been for us.
Yeah, it was just the engine died, and when the engine dies on those things, there's nothing they can do.
Well, it wasn't just the engine dying. The engine died, and they were in a horrible storm that they maybe shouldn't have been in.
Yeah.
I mean, 26-foot waves, it was crashing into the ship, there was flooding in the ship in some places, and again, they had to helicopter people off one by one.
That's just insane. I did see that, and that looked terrifying. It made me rethink going on cruises.
Well, again, having been on that exact ship just 2 months ago, and having cruised on other lines and stuff, the food was outstanding. The ship was really nice. There was a bit of a shudder to it. It didn't please my dad. But overall, the crew was amazing. It was a really fun trip. Very glad we did it. So don't let that kind of scare you off.
Awesome.
Because the likelihood of that happening, I mean, obviously it can, but it's
very rare.
It's rare.
Yeah, my wife and I have been on a ton of cruises, and thankfully nothing bad has ever happened to us.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, it was funny because, you know, the last trip I was on, which was that one, you know, ended with the second time I got on the flight home sort of story.
Yeah.
This was one of those where, again, the second time I boarded the flight home worked better than the first. It was much, much less traumatic, of course. This time we had, when it was all said and done, got on the plane, it backed out from the gate, then stopped. I'm like, well, that's odd. A few minutes later, pilot gets on with a, yeah, there's a little incident up here. We're going to have some maintenance guy come up for a judgment call.
Oh, no.
And he was doing it in that kind of distracted, not totally, you know, with us on the PA system, if you know what I mean, kind of way.
Yeah.
With a, that seems not good. And they wound up pulling back in. The maintenance people came on, and they basically said, okay, everybody's getting off, getting to the gate. We're going to get another plane.
Oh, great.
Turns out it looked to be like a minor electrical fire or whatever in the yoke or whatever, with a little smoke coming out and some burnt plastic or something. And better to be safe than sorry in that kind of situation, I guess.
Definitely.
So that was the excitement on that trip.
Okay, which was not too bad, but just a little time waster.
Little time waster, but if I could have picked that sort of a thing on the previous trip, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I can understand.
So, but yeah, C2E2 this past weekend was a lot of fun. It was it's a good size convention, plenty to do, but still manageable to, you know, walk around it and see everything. My sister and I recorded last night as we record this our episode on it. We're recording, you and I, right now on Thursday. We did that Wednesday, having gotten back Tuesday, and the episode's going up Friday, which is tomorrow as we record this. Last Friday's the episode goes up.
Awesome, awesome.
All in all, fun trip, and, you know, the C2E2 side of it, great convention, well worth going to. More information in that episode. But to me, the other part of it was because after my dad's death and stuff, we were a little late to the game to getting the flights and stuff arranged. The best we could do was getting out on Tuesday, and it's a, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday convention. So we're like, well, okay, well, I guess we're cooling our heels there for a bit. Since we had the time, we had decided to rent a car, drive to Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, spend the night there, and then the next morning, Monday, head over to Cowabunga Comics.
Awesome. How long of a drive was that?
It was about 2 hours.
Okay, not too bad.
Not too bad. It's pretty much a straight shot up, I guess, 94, maybe. There's a lot of being the left lanes for this, the right lanes for that, you know, forks or whatever for the way they do their freeways in that part of the country.
Okay.
But as long as you're following, you know, a Google Maps or a Waze kind of a thing like we were, it's easy to do. And again, 2 hours, not too bad.
All right, cool.
It is kind of funny that it's now a long enough commute to my comic shop that I need a hotel and a rental car. But yeah, we spent a couple hours there, 4 or 5 hours there Monday, recorded an episode with James and Eric there. It's going to take me a little bit to get that edited and up. That'll probably be actually a few weeks because there's the preview spotlight and a few other things I got to get up first.
But awesome.
Fun hanging with those guys. They've got a great store. I took some 360 photos and stuff that I've still got to get off the camera and get over to Eric and James for them to either put up on their website or whatever. But man, sizable store, intuitive layout. It was easy to find stuff. Really impressive display of, like, the artist editions and whatnot.
That's really cool.
In that part of the store, it's kind of a two-story thing because they've got a loft upstairs where they do the gaming and such. And with this, they had it up on that upper part of the wall. But these things are big enough, you can still see them clearly and whatnot. And they had, geez, I don't know, 2-3 dozen or something.
Wow.
An impressive amount. Plus they had, you know, action figures and other toys and some gaming stuff. And then when we were recording, James had mentioned some early Justice Leagues they had in their back issue bins. And so they're making a mental note. And of course, afterwards, I figured I should go check that out. So I filled a few gaps in the JLA-JSA crossovers and such that I'd been missing.
Cool.
Don't have quite everything that's going to be in that Crisis box set coming out for $500 later in the year, but I think literally now I'm only missing maybe 2 issues out of that.
Are you coughing up the $500 or the $250?
Much less of a need for that now that I've plugged a couple of gaps in those early JLA-JSA crossovers.
Okay, cool. That's awesome.
So that was fun.
I heard they have a big warehouse that is available to them out back, because I know their e-commerce, basically where they're taking over like mail order. Yeah, as it expands, they can move into that too.
That's cool.
Yeah, so they say, I remember they were telling me they have a ton of space. So it's a space that's bigger than that store, just to basically warehouse everything. As they grow, they have the space right there.
Yeah, it seemed like just from the layout of the store, they had plenty of room in it, and they seemed to have some room to grow in for that other kind of stuff.
Yeah, so I'm really excited for them, and they're the nicest guys. I love those.
They are. They are. They're sharp guys. They pay attention to the industry. They look for good opportunities. They know when to stretch a little and when not to, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. You have to be a savvy retailer, a savvy business person, to be a comic book retailer, because it is a brutal business, and if you don't know what you're doing, you can lose your shirt overnight.
Yeah.
And they're doing very well.
Again, I was finding early Justice League issues, and I don't mean like a recent Justice League, I mean like the original Justice League of America title and stuff, just in their back issue bins.
That's insane.
Blew me away.
Yeah, what's been kind of cool is anytime I do need a back issue, it seems like they have it. You know, I was like, I'll just look at their pictures on their Facebook and they'll be like, Conan number one is out. I'm like, man, I was like, how much is that? He's like, oh, we just sold it. Don't worry, we have a couple more. I was like, oh my gosh.
they do a really good job curating their back issue selection.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it, but they do a very good job at it.
Well, I think it comes down to James knows the kinds of stuff that's going to sell, what people are going to be interested in, and goes and looks for it when they're at conventions and other stores and such.
Which is awesome. So James, is he kind of like the back issue guy, and then Eric's kind of like the online e-tailer? Or?
Yeah, I would say that's a fair assessment. And we talked a little about that in the episode and such.
Okay.
Basically, they each have their strengths, and they've got another guy who's more on the gaming side of things, and they play to their strengths.
Which is smart. So they do what you do well, and then they'll be successful because they're covering all their bases.
Absolutely.
Well, that's really cool. I'm glad you went up there. And next year, barring any chaos, I already got an okay. I talked to my wife about it. I'm going to try and go to C2E2 next year, and I hope you're going to be there. I want to meet you there. And then I'll take my own little trip up and see Cowabunga.
Well, it's interesting you mention that, because there was one piece of news that came out at the tail end of C2E2 that I love the convention and want to go back. No question about that. Their decision to do it at the end of February, however.
Oh, God.
It's Chicago. It's cold.
They're moving it to February?
That's what it seems to be at this point. I think February 28th or something like that, maybe.
Why? That makes no sense.
It may just be when they could get the convention center, or to move it further away from Emerald City and WonderCon.
Oh.
Because I talked to at least one artist who was saying that some of the various people had just gone to Emerald City, were here this week, going to WonderCon next week, and not even sure what the week after.
It must be breathing room. They're trying to get some breathing room so they get all the talent there versus splitting.
And it makes sense.
Yeah, but for me, I'm like, man, I'm from Florida. All right. I will literally freeze to death. Although I did go to Iceland in December, so maybe I can do it.
Well, I did Norway in January and such, but it's cold.
Yeah, I'll have to have my parka on, the big gloves, the long johns, the whole thing.
Hey, cosplay is like the Michelin Man or something, you know?
Exactly, and I won't be stripping it off when I go inside.
No. So, again, I'm not ruling it out, but it does have me thinking, it's like, am I sure I want to do that?
Exactly, and driving on the roads in February, that could be dangerous. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, so I'm glad I went to Cowabunga this time, where it was a nice, easy drive, although it was right above freezing, and we'd gotten a little wet in the Chicago area. Not very, but it was one of those, if it had dropped a little bit lower or gotten a little bit wetter on the drive, that would not have been fun.
Okay, well, I'm going to commit to it as long as I can see the weather report ahead of time.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm certainly, again, it's a fun convention. For me, it's a different kind of convention than a lot of others because it's more hang with friends and stuff like that.
Wow.
In addition to, you know, talk with the creators and do all of the panels and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, cool.
But it's as much a social thing in many respects for me and whatnot. And that was a little hard to juggle this time. I didn't even make it to Artist Alley until Sunday.
Wow. Now, is it more friend-oriented because more of the people you know live in that area of the country, that part of the country? Or is it just it's a big draw and it's just open and laid back?
Some of it is open and laid back. There are wider aisles. And part of it is I'm staying with some friends there. We've got other friends that are also local. So there's that side of it.
Okay, cool.
But I highly recommend it. It's a good convention. They get some good guests. They do some really good panels. Plenty of vendors and stuff. Marvel was there. DC was there. A number of other publishers were there as well. A lot of small publishers too.
Okay, awesome.
And
awesome.
They have an artist alley that just doesn't quit.
Really?
Each aisle is like, I'm going to say maybe 20 tables long, and they had 26 of them.
Wow. Now, did you end up blowing a ton of money while you're up there?
No, actually, I didn't. I spent more at Cowabunga than I did at C2E2.
Cool.
Part of it, though, is because I've got so much stuff, there's not a whole lot at some of these conventions that always leaps out saying, buy me, buy me. There was one thing, and we talked about it on the episode, but it was the Doctor Who crystals. They're rectangular cubical kind of crystals in the shape with etchings of like the TARDIS on the outside.
Okay.
And on the inside, an etching of the Doctor.
Ah, cool.
And it's got an LED light-up stand that kind of illuminates the etching or whatever. So it's like a 3D, you know, version of the Doctor or whatever. And the guy, it's officially licensed property. He did one for each of the 13 Doctors.
Oh, awesome, awesome.
Plus the War Doctor, actually. So however many. Nice. Yeah. And one that's just the TARDIS.
And now you don't have that long of a break, and you have to go to Power Morphicon. Is that this weekend, or?
It's a week from tomorrow. We're driving out for that as we record this.
Wow. So that's really cool. You found some cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I like the doctor thing with the crystals. But
I didn't end up buying those.
You didn't get it?
No, because one, they were heavy.
Oh, you don't want to have to lug it around and put it on the plane.
Surprisingly heavy. Didn't want to have to do that in the plane. And, you know, you can't just get one.
Yeah, you have to get the whole set.
If I had somewhere nice to display them, and I did get the guy's card, because they're outstanding, it's on the list to consider.
All right. You're like, are you going to be at our convention down here in Texas?
Yeah. I'm sure at some point they'll either be in previews or something like that. So.
Well, that's really
cool.
Or
available online. But, yeah.
That's really amazing. So you have a very busy schedule because convention season is in full swing, and you do go to quite a few of them.
Yeah, right now, again, having just done C2E2, being about to go to Power Morphicon Express in the Houston area, that'll keep me a little busy. That's happening the same weekend as the preview spotlight, because that deadline is April 6th, that Saturday morning, which is this coming Saturday.
Yep.
As the episode goes up. Regular format, one clip per pick. If you guys can get them in early, I've already gotten some. It helps a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll figure it out and stuff.
I'm going to try and record mine on the 3rd, so I'll get them in a little bit early.
Cool. And then the following weekend is April 13th. That evening, we're going to do the Comic Page teleconference again.
Oh, cool.
There is a chance I might be a few minutes late to that. There's something going on here in town I'm thinking about going to. I just haven't pulled the trigger on that. But that'd be something that keeps me pretty busy that weekend, too, actually.
All right. So a bunch of us will sit around and wait for you to get online.
I should be getting on time, but
Just in case.
Just in case. Depends on traffic or something. And if I go to that.
Cool.
So. But, yeah, because of C2E2 and stuff, I only got a little bit of reading done.
Yeah, how much did you get in?
Actually, I think I got about as much read as I got in this week.
So you're keeping pace, and now when things slow down, you're taking big chunks out. You'll be caught up pretty soon.
I should be.
Yeah, which will make it nice, because then it's more enjoyable, and then you can add in a few books here and there, you know, test some things, you know, you just have a little bit more time.
Absolutely.
Which makes it more enjoyable.
Maybe do some back issue spotlights.
Yeah, that would be awesome too. Because you and Sam were going to do the other Earth One books, was it?
Yeah, we've got 6 of those piled up, so we may do 2 episodes out of that. And then we've also had talked about in the past of doing the original Secret Wars. He's got some of the Wolfman Perez New Teen Titans stuff that he's starting to read through, so that's a possibility.
Ah.
It just, again, comes down to getting caught up on the reading and getting a little time.
Cool. Well, I hope you get caught up, and I hope you have fun at Power Morphicon, and I'm glad you had a good time at C2E2, and I'm glad you got to meet Eric and James, and I'm happy that their business is going well. I mean, I really like those guys. They're really the two nicest guys I've ever met.
Yeah, if you do make it down to like C2E2 or somewhere else in that neck of the woods, it's worth a little bit of a trek over to their store.
Yeah, that would be the main reason I'm going, believe it or not. You know, C2E2, I'll go and I'll have some fun while I'm there, but I'm going to see those guys.
Yeah, and it's good if you can time it to do kind of 2 things in one shot or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I was debating. Do I go early and then fly out right after the con, or do I do what you did and stay a little bit longer? Who knows?
It worked well for me to do it afterwards.
A little bit of recuperation time?
A little bit of recuperation time, and... if you see something at con that gets you thinking, oh yeah, I saw this creator, I'd forgotten about this, I want to go pick up their back series or whatever, you know, maybe it gives you more ideas of what to shop for.
You're going to the place where they have it.
Exactly. Or if that's they don't cool. have it, they can get it.
Exactly. So that's really cool.
Yeah, it was fun, but I'm tired.
Yeah, now it's time to get some rest and relaxation and recuperate and re-energize.
Yeah, something like that. So anything else? Or does that pretty much do it?
That pretty much does it.
Cool. Join us next time as we discuss Detective Comics 1000 from DC, Doctor Strange number 12 from Marvel, and Skyward number 11 from Image Comics.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.